This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Our next speaker, and again, it's an absolute pleasure to have this sister with us, Ustada Fatima Barakatullah, is someone who has studied Arabic and Islamic studies in Egypt, and she continues to study the Islamic sciences. She has been a key contributor to the discourse surrounding Muslim women in the West, contributing to many shows on various platforms, mashallah, and she's someone who travels extensively to share her reminders and her wisdom with people across the UK. Today, inshallah, she will be speaking to us regarding maximizing our personal ibadah during the month of Ramadan. Ustada Fatima, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Ustada, when you're ready, bismillah.
Okay. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله dear brothers and sisters, السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. It's a pleasure to be with you today. I'm going to be speaking to you, inshallah, about meeting our personal ibadah goals during Ramadan, especially, you know, this Ramadan in lockdown. We're all at home and having to deal with the new normal, which is slightly strange, you know, not being able to go out. Maybe a lot of the shops are closed. The masajid are closed. You know, it's really a unique situation. And so I think it's worth us taking a few moments to plan and think about Ramadan. And I think that's where it starts. You know, when you have ibadah goals, when you have any goals and you want to meet those goals, the first thing is to make a plan, because our deen encourages us. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam encouraged us to be intentional about things, right? إِنَّمَا الْأَعْمَالُ بِالنِّيَّاتِ Actions are but by intentions, right? And every soul will have what they intended. So brothers and sisters, being intentional is about planning, isn't it? So I think the first thing that's really important, if you want to meet your ibadah goals, any Ramadan, especially if you're a busy mom, you're a busy parent, you know, you've got all the kids at home, it's really important to be intentional and make a plan for Ramadan. I would encourage everyone to make a plan, especially for the first week of Ramadan, a very detailed and meticulous plan. Now, what do I mean by that? I mean that you literally, you write down somewhere, you know, you get a piece of paper, you write down for the first week when all the prayer times are, when you're going to plan to pray as a family, right? So it doesn't have to be the exact beginning of the time, but you can decide it, you know, like a particular time for each of the prayers. You could even write that up and put it somewhere, you know, so that everyone, when they're walking past it, they can see, okay, that's the time we're going to be praying together in Jama'ah. Also, so in your timetable, you write down the fixed things like all the prayer times, etc., iftar time, of course, suhoor, those things that are not going to move around much, or they're going to be like fixed things during the day, okay? And then for the first week, you make quite a detailed plan. You know, when do you plan to wake up? When do you plan to you know, do the different acts of ibadah that you would like to do? And then when will you start preparing for iftar? You know, all of these things, they have their right, don't they? We have to give our dues to each aspect of our life so that we can be balanced. And I know that, you know, sometimes we overcomplicate some of these things, right? So we make dinner into a very big, very big thing. Of course, it is important. Iftar is important. And we want to give our families healthy and nutritious meals that are homemade, etc. But I think one of the things we have to take care of this Ramadan is to become more simple, you know, to make life simpler, right? So simplify life, whatever that looks like for you. So if that means, okay, we're going to, you know, for example, in preparing for Eid, we're going to keep things very simple this time, you know. We don't have to do all the lavish stuff. We are going to focus on family. We're going to focus on each other. We're going to maybe play games. We're going to do simple things. We're going to maybe wear the same clothes we wore last Eid, right? Even that's something that people often don't do. They think they have to buy new clothes every Eid. It's not necessary at all, you know? So these are the sorts of things I know that us moms are going to be thinking about during and coming to the end of Ramadan. And I think it's really important for us to start simplifying our day, the entire day, make it very simple. And then the next idea I'd like to share with you is to create a personal ibadah space, right? So if you can create a personal ibadah space in your house, so for me, that's going to be in one of my, in my bedroom, and it's going to be literally a space that I'm going to keep clean, free of any kind of mess or anything, inshallah. Have a prayer mat set up there, have my, you know, my mushaf there ready, okay? Maybe some dua books, maybe a Quran journal, right? A journal, like just basically a notebook that I have that is a Quran journal, okay? And that is going to be like my little space, okay? So that I can retreat from the family at times, you know, when I need to and when I've planned to. And I can literally go and just do my own personal ibadah there. And I think it's really important for us to do that, especially as parents, especially as moms, because sometimes we can be so immersed in the family all day long that we don't feel that we've had time to make dua, to connect with Allah, to have that one-to-one time with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And I think it's really important for us to create a personal ibadah space. And I would start doing that now, you know, because subhanAllah, Ramadan is upon us, right? A few days' time. And then I would also create a communal ibadah space. So a space for the whole family, right? A space where we can all pray in jama'ah. We're going to be praying Taraweeh at home, right? And subhanAllah, you know, there's a blessing in that. You know, I do know that a lot of us are feeling heartbroken that the mosques are closed, and definitely, you know, it's not an ideal situation. And especially the men, you know, they're very used to going to the masajid and for Taraweeh, and many of us sisters as well go. However, you know, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala places a test upon us, or he places a new situation upon us, okay, instead of looking for all the things that we're missing out on, right? Instead of thinking of the negatives and, oh, you know, I really wanted to go to Taraweeh, it's not going to be the same. Instead of thinking like that, what if we thought of the new opportunities that Allah is giving us, right? Because in every situation, there's always some opportunity as well, if we are to look deeply for it. For me, I'm thinking, subhanAllah, yes, you know, I enjoy going to Taraweeh, and it's a different level of concentration, etc. However, in some ways, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us more time, you know, because obviously all the traveling to the Taraweeh, the preparation for that, etc., that takes time, doesn't it? And it's time for us, for our children, you know, if you've got children who've memorized the Quran, especially your sons, right? It's time for them to step up, right? And start leading the family in Taraweeh. And if you don't have that, then whoever the head of the house is, whoever the male person of the house is, and however much Quran they know, you know, even if you're not half of the whole Quran, you know, most of us, inshallah, I hope, have memorized a good portion of Quran with good tajweed, inshallah. We should use that. We should use that to pray the tahajjud prayers and the taraweeh prayers, you know, at Isha time or after Isha time. So in that, there's a new type of opportunity, you know. I think right from now, I'm getting my sons to start preparing, you know, for their for taraweeh, for leading us in taraweeh. So they're going to be, you know, practicing. They're practicing their surahs every day during Ramadan. They will be revising so that in the evening, they could lead us in prayer, you know. And if you don't have that set up, it's perfectly fine to pray by yourself as well, you know, because it is a nafil prayer, or it's in like it's a supererogatory prayer, right? And it's something that you can pray by yourself as well. It's not necessary to pray in jama'ah, although, you know, some of the scholars say it's good too. And, you know, others say that it's actually better to pray by yourself. So don't put too much pressure on yourself. You know, whatever way you're able to do it, make sure you do pray some tarawih prayers, right? Which are basically the prayers that you pray after Isha, any extra prayers that you pray after Isha. And try to do that every single day. Even if it's just 2 rak'at. I'm giving you like the bare minimum, right? Even if you do 2 rak'at, make it that you do it every day. Because there's a hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam that whoever stands in prayer in Ramadan, iman and wahtisaban, with iman and with, you know, hoping for Allah's reward, then all of his past sins will be forgiven. And that means at least praying 2 rak'at after the Isha prayer, right, of extra prayer. So I would encourage you to incorporate that into your plan. The other thing I would encourage you to incorporate into your plan, of course, is Quran. And when it comes to Quran, I would focus on 3 areas. Reading Quran, reciting the Quran in Salah, and tadabbur, reflecting on the Quran. Okay, so reciting the Quran in Salah, reading the Quran from the Mus'haf, and reflecting on the Quran. And for me, the way that those 3 things, I try to incorporate them into Ramadan is having an aim of a portion that you're going to read every single day, right? That's the first thing. So maybe for you, that's a juz of Quran. Maybe you're not to that level, or you don't feel able to do that. You don't feel you have the time. It's okay, but make a portion that you have decided beforehand is going to be your daily portion of Quran. Reciting in Salah, make it that anything that you have memorized, you know, maybe you've memorized Juz Amma even just, or you've memorized Baqarah, maybe you've memorized some of the other surahs, right? Just Tabarak, for example. Use those surahs that you've memorized in your Salah, right? And especially in the Qiyam, especially, after the Isha prayer, when you're doing the extra prayers. Also reflect. So for reflection, I would encourage you to have some kind of Quran journal, right? And, you know, it might sound like a big deal. It's not a big deal at all. You know, you have a notebook that you keep, especially for Quran. And the way I would do it is, so you have your portion that you're going to read every day. You have your portion that you're going to recite in the Salah, okay? And then you have, even if it's 1 ayah of Quran, dear brothers and sisters, even if it's 1 ayah, and subhanAllah, 1 ayah can have such deep meanings. You take 1 ayah every single day, you look up some tafsir about it. You know, nowadays you've got YouTube, you can look up the tafsir of anything, even as a video, right? But if you can go to the books of tafsir, look up what that ayah means properly, okay? And then do some reflection about how you could apply that ayah into your life, right? And write about it in that book. SubhanAllah, people used to tell me about this action of, keeping a Quran journal. And I didn't really used to take it very seriously because, you know, subhanAllah, I was studying, I was doing my alimiyah, I was studying tafsir anyway. But when I started doing this, just taking 1 ayah, reflecting on it, really looking up the tafsir properly, and then writing about how I could apply that to my life, that's when I really started seeing a lot of benefit, you know, subhanAllah. I felt closer to the Quran. I'm going to tell you about this concept of habit stacking, okay? Habit stacking. There's a great book. You might be able to listen to it as an audio book or look up as a summary of this book on YouTube, and it's called Atomic Habits. Atomic Habits. I'd really encourage you to read that book, or at least go over the summary of it, because there's a wonderful concept of habit stacking. Anything that you want to make a daily habit, if you stack it on top of a habit that you already have every single day, right, it actually becomes easier for you to establish that as a habit. Let me give you an example. So for every day of Ramadan, you should think to yourself, what is your morning routine going to be, right? Because morning routine, subhanAllah, the morning sets the tone for the day, right? It sets the tone for the day. So it's really important you start your day off well. The bad way to start off your day would be checking your phone, you know, social media, because that gets you in a reactive mode, right? Reading your emails, because that gets you in the mode where you're basically responding to other people's needs, right? Rather than planning your own, intentionally planning your own day. And the third thing you don't want to do is just bumble through the day, right? Through the morning without thinking. What you really want to do is have a good morning routine. And one of the things I would encourage you to do is habit stack. So when you have something that you are you definitely do every day, so inshallah, I'm hoping that everyone prays Salatul Fajr every day, right? You stack another habit on top of Salatul Fajr. So you say, okay, whenever I pray Salatul Fajr, I will do my dhikr of the morning, right? Whenever I finished my dhikr of the morning, I will open up my mushaf and read half a juz, for example, right? Or one page, whatever your portion is, right? And then you say, when I close the mushaf, I'm going to get up and I'm going to go for a walk, for example. Okay, so that's like a nice little morning routine that you could have. And what you've done is you've taken something that is a must that you already do every day, right? Which is waking up for Fajr. And you've stacked other habits on top of it so that you kind of have some kind of trigger. When this habit is finished, I'm going to do this. When this habit is finished, I'm going to do this. And that makes it actually easier for you to carry out or to establish new habits. Another one could be, for example, iftar time, right? So iftar time is fixed. You could habit stack. You could make it that, okay, 2 hours before iftar time, every single day, I'm going to sit and do my dhikr for the day, right? I'm going to make adhkar, so then maybe the adhkar of masa, of the afternoon. Or extra adhkar, you know, that we should be doing to make ourselves closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So you could use that time to make dhikr. 2 hours before iftar, I'm going to start my dhikr. Then I'm going to do my Quran journal, for example. And then I'm going to start preparing for iftar, okay? You could do 3 hours before, you know, whatever your suits your particular situation. But because you've kind of stacked it up, you know, okay, this is my routine. I'm going to do my dhikr, you know, sit down and do nothing but dhikr. Then I'm going to, open my Quran journal, and I'm going to do some tadabbur, read an ayah of Quran, look it up, and, you know, write about it. Then is my time to start preparing for iftar, and then, of course, there's iftar time. So you see how you stack things up, and that really, really helps. It really helps. Another example could be that you could say, okay, once I finished my evening prayer, my Isha, and then, you know, my extra prayers after Isha, Taraweeh, Tahajjud, I'm going to always give some sadaqah every single night, right? So I'm going to pick up, this is going to be one of my habits every day. I'm going to pick up my phone, I'm going to, subhanAllah, at our fingertips, we can make sadaqah now. We don't even have to go out looking for needy people, right? Subhanallah, you know, one of the commentators was saying that if there was ever a time to be in lockdown, right, for this test to come upon us, this is alhamdulillah still a good time, because even though we're forced to be at home, we have so much technology, we have so much connection because of the fact that there's the internet. You know, 20 years ago, there was not the internet, right? Not in the same way as it is now. So subhanAllah, we do have a lot of blessings. If we were to look for them, there is a lot to be grateful for. Of course, I'm aware that a lot of brothers and sisters have lost loved ones. So this Ramadan is a time for us to make a lot of dua for them, you know, to keep them in our memory, to not forget about them. They couldn't make it to this Ramadan, but we can make dua for them this Ramadan and keep them in our prayers. So I will leave you with a little checklist of, I would say, the minimum things that we should all incorporate into our day as personal ibadah during Ramadan. And then what you can do is create your own plan for your day you know, make it a flexible plan. You know, things change, things happen. But at least for the first week of Ramadan, make a meticulous plan. Here's my minimum checklist, I would say, for every single day, that we read some Quran every single day, perhaps a juz if you can, after every salah or whenever you want to make it, you know, make your time for Quran, that we every single day pray our sunnah prayers, right? So all of the sunan mu'akkada, the ones that the Prophet ﷺ never left, right? Pray all of those every single day because they're very, very rewardable, you know, after the fard salahs. Those are the next most rewardable. And then, of course, tahajjud. So pray at least 2 rakat. Of course, we should do more, but if you have to yani, choose between not doing it and doing it, 2 rakat at least after Isha, extra prayers. Have time to recite Quran in the Salah, read the Quran from the Mus'haf, and have some reflection time, tadabbur time on the Quran with maybe a Quran journal that you could make for yourself. And inshallah, you know, give some sadaqah if you can every single day. Have a time for dhikr, or make it that, you know, in every day, the everyday things that you're doing throughout your day, you're constantly keeping your tongue moist with the dhikr of Allah, right? Subhanallah, we have an act of worship we can do even when we're ironing, even when we're cleaning, even when we're, you know, lying down. We have an act of worship we can do, and that is dhikr, keeping our tongues moist with the dhikr of Allah. And I would leave you with this, brothers and sisters. You know, Ramadan is a time for us to learn patience. It is a time for us to learn patience. And please think about this and reflect on this. You know, sometimes being with your whole family in the house for many, many hours can be quite stressful. I know a lot of families are feeling the strain, right? Sometimes disengaging, being silent, not feeling you have to respond and react to every little thing is the best way to handle it. So I would encourage you, especially in Ramadan, when something angers you, something gets on your nerves, someone is triggering you, right? That instead of reacting, shouting, you know, astaghfirullah, you know, reacting in a terrible way, I encourage you to withdraw. You know, withdraw from the situation for a little while, get some space, and respond with silence. There's a lot of power in silence, you know. The scholars used to talk about the benefits of silence and not constantly talking, not constantly feeling you have to respond, not constantly feeling you have to engage with every single conversation, situation, right? And I noticed that from my own father, you know, my father, Mufti Barakatullah, I noticed that one of the great qualities that he had was that he would, whenever there was something stressful or difficult, he would, instead of becoming angry and, you know, engaging with it, he would actually withdraw and start focusing on Allah. He would make istighfar, or he would go quiet. And his silence spoke volumes. His silence spoke volumes. So I would really encourage all of us as well to, you know, hold our tongues, be patient, be silent sometimes, and just silently talk to Allah about whatever issue that we're facing. And you'll see that after a few moments, after even a few hours maybe, that situation dies down, things become better, and you feel happy that you responded in a dignified way, right? You feel glad that you responded in a dignified way. My father was telling me, you know, subhanAllah, it's like we have been put into a forced compulsory i'tikaf, right? Already we've been put into a state of i'tikaf. We have to stay in one place. And so, subhanAllah, you know, we can use this time to put away the distractions, you know, have a bit of a detox from the phone during Ramadan as much as you can, you know, and use this time to focus on Allah, to refocus on ourselves, on what's really important. I hope that that has benefited you, dear brothers and sisters, somewhat. You know, it's just really me sharing with you some of the things that I do to prepare for Ramadan. So please make that personal ibadah space, create a communal ibadah space, make a plan, especially for the first week, meticulous plan, simplify everything, right? Whether that's the meal, subhanAllah, brothers and sisters, people of our culture are dying of diabetes. They're dying of obesity, right? SubhanAllah, you know, when are we going to learn? This food, this fried food with full of, you know, refined carbohydrates and et cetera, is not good for us. It's killing us. It's killing us. It's time for us to rethink all of that, you know. No, it's not necessary for us to have samosas every day. I think it's time for us to really simplify. Whatever you would normally eat, eat that for your iftar, right? Don't need to make a special food. We really don't. We already eat very luxurious food, dear brothers and sisters. And I'm not being a party pooper. I'm saying that, subhanAllah, the ordinary, beautiful, fresh fruit and vegetable and food that Allah has given us, the ordinary meals, not full of fat and not full of, you know, carbohydrates and refined carbohydrates and fried food and etc. The ordinary everyday food that we eat in our cultures and, you know, in our society, that's good enough. You know, that's the food that we should be eating. We don't need to make a special party food every single day. And I would encourage all of us to do that because, subhanAllah, in this time of lockdown, it feels like Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is calling us back to simplicity. So, jazakum Allah khairan, brothers and sisters. I will leave you with that and I will end with the dua. Subhanak Allahumma wa bihamdik. Ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. Jazakallah khairan.
Jazakallah khair, Ustada Fatima, for a wonderful reminder. And as you rightly mentioned, normally we approach Ramadan in quite an ad hoc way, but it's only right that we treat the month properly and we approach it, planning for it and planning our ibadat. Jazakallah khair, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept from you your reminder and your da'wah, and may Allah make it a means of you entering Jannat al-Firdaus. Ameen ya Rabb.
Jazakallah khair.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullah.